Is 1 week before lunch. My title of my sermon is called War Cry. We'll talk about that in just a second. We have these mellers in the back. As soon as the ushers are done passing out the offering plates, they're going to pass around these mellers, extra ones. We have 500 of them for you. So if you want to take 10, if you want to take 20, if you want to take 40, as long as you don't put them on your dresser and they sit there until next year, because then you throw them away and they're worthless. But if you're going to go to a restaurant after church, stick one on your table, give it to everybody you possibly can, whatever it takes. And so just take as many as you want and pass all of them out. The 500 of them are worthless after next Sunday. And so just pass them out. Tori, you can pass them all over Sagu. No, just joking. My daughter's here all the way from Dallas to spend the weekend. I think she's going to be back next week for lunch, right? And with her friends. So cool stuff. And so bring someone, please, please, please. And don't hear this. Let me say this about the mellers getting passed out. I want you to give as many mellers as you can out, because one of them may come. But the most effective way to bring somebody is to go the extra mile and target one family. You may need to go pick them up in your car. You may need to offer them to take them out to eat afterwards or cook for them afterwards. But you would go the extra mile to make sure one family came on lunch Sunday. And so Chris, I would just pass them down. So if they want to take 50 of them, they can take as many of them. Yeah, I would just pass out as many. So if y'all want to take a bunch of them, the 500 is worthless after today. So please take all that you want. We won't take them. If you've missed the last two Sundays, let me just kind of preview the last two messages. Fabian's over there smelling them. They were printed like 2 days ago. Yes, they smell like freshly print, so that's what it is. And Fabian's like, thank you for pointing me out. Everybody's always, not complain, that sounds like a negative word, but that y'all can't see me, so I have lights. Can y'all see me? Can y'all see me? Are the lights better? And we got lights for the worship team, so they're not being able to be seen as well. And so if you've missed the last 2 weeks, let me just remind you of those. 2 weeks ago, I preached on fasting, and I asked the church to join me in a fast. I don't care how you fast. I don't care if you do a Daniel fast. I don't care if you fast three days or 1 day or up until noon every day or till 3 o'clock 1 day a week. However you want to do it, I would ask that you would join me as we fast and seek the face of the Lord. Because February has been a month of perfecting everything we have been doing, perfecting our sound, perfecting how we set up. And may I say, we have a phenomenal team. It was 9:13 this morning when I looked at my watch, and about 90% of the stuff was already set up and done. And so, team, y'all are amazing. Worship team, you are amazing. It's just such a great thing. February has been a month of perfecting how to do church in a junior high. And so I think we have done a phenomenal job at figuring out the kinks and still working some things out, but we got most of it done. Perfecting of fasting, of worshiping and seeking the Lord, and preparing us for lunch. And so my sermon 2 weeks ago was fast, focus, faith, forward. So we're fasting so we can hear from God, so we can focus on His plans, so we can be a people that would step out in faith so that we can move forward. And that is not just a prayer for Go Church, that is also a prayer for your personal life. So please email me or share with me your victories of you as you have fasted and God has showed up and done great things. Michelle this week sent me an email. Should I say it wasn't an email, it was a book. Where's Michelle? And it was just a testimony of what God did in her life in the process of tithing. And so if you've been fasting and you're seeing breakthroughs, please let me know what they are. Last Sunday, I preached a sermon that I loved called Disturb Us, Lord. May this be a season of our lives that we would evaluate our heart, that our heart would break for what breaks the heart of God. May we hope and pray that God would disturb us. My 3 points last week was, disturb us, Lord, when our dreams are too small. Because as we sing today, we serve a God of miracles. And oftentimes our dreams are just way too small for God. That we serve a great big God, not an itty bitty devil. Number two, last week I said, disturb us, Lord, when our earthly possessions cloud our heavenly destiny. Cause us to be a people that pursue, number one, his kingdom. Number three, disturb us, Lord, when we fail to hope. We are to be a people that hope in Jesus, that we hope in his word, but we are to be a people that hope for other people. That we cheer other people on. That we remind them of what God says over them. Go Church should be a church that hopes for people. When they walk through those doors, they feel loved. They feel cheered on. That we celebrate that God has a plan and a purpose. Whether they're living in it at this point in their life or not, that God still has a plan and a purpose for their life. And we celebrate that God has a purpose. And we help them get to that place. Because we are a people of hope. Elizabeth, y'all know Elizabeth, right? She put a post on there on Facebook about how people get hurt in church and they leave. And there was a quote, and there was kind of back and forth with some comments of how come people don't go to church because of the wounds and the hurts. And I wrote some things on there. And I think the illustration was, if you get a bad restaurant, you don't ever not go to a restaurant again. You still continue to go back to a restaurant. And a lot of people said that was an oversimplification of wounds in churches' lives. But yes, but consider yourself having a boyfriend or a girlfriend. If you're married, go back a few years, okay? And that boyfriend or girlfriend wounds you and hurts you. Well, we don't stop dating a future spouse. We don't just say, hey, I'm never going to date again. We may say that right after the breakup. But sooner or later, we begin to date to pursue who our spouse is again. We don't just give up. Sometimes the body of Christ wounds people. And we get back up and find a place that's healthy for us. But here's the hard thing about church life. I preached about this a few weeks ago, that we are full of flawed people, me and you. We are all on a journey, and because of that journey, we still hurt one another. And I think the world, including the body of Christ, has this perception that everybody in this room should be perfect and act perfect all the time. Even they themselves aren't perfect. They expect everybody else to be perfect. So when the rest of the body of Christ wounds someone, we run from the body. When hear this, I believe one of God's most effective tools of causing us to be more like him is the body of Christ. Because it asks the question, when we are wounded by other people, will we respond in such a way, the way Jesus would want us to respond, or will we run or respond in a negative way back? It is a process of developing my character in Jesus. And the body of Christ is a great place to learn that. Because I guarantee people at Go Church, including me, will say things that are really stupid at times. Even this week, have y'all ever woken up in the morning and then you recalled a conversation you had on the day before and you're like, dude, that was really stupid what you just said. Anybody, is that just me? Yeah, I woke up about 2 weeks ago, and I woke up, and all of a sudden, I recall a conversation that I had with someone. I'm like, oh, that was not very good to say. It was. And this has nothing to do with my sermon. I don't know why I'm going here, but it was a Muslim girl from Pakistan, and I was trying, I was trying to bridge, and I know a little bit about Pakistan, not a whole lot, and I was asking her where she came from, and Kaylee was getting a checking account at the bank, and I was trying to figure out, in northern Pakistan is your more primitive people that tend to be where the Taliban hang out and cross the border in Afghanistan. So I asked her, I said, so describe where you're from. I know the Taliban's up top, and, I didn't even think anything about the comment, and then I woke up the next morning going, oh, You know, to be so sensitive in the issues, I just really said something I probably shouldn't have said to her for me being a total stranger. She probably read into that thinking, yeah, he thinks every Muslim's a Taliban member or something. You know, I'm thinking, dude, I can't go back in there and apologize. Hey, I'm sorry for, you know, it's just a totally messed up. And I do things like that all the time. My point is, we as a people are flawed. We will hurt one another. How will you respond in return? As a people of Go Church, we want to be a people of hope. But that is a perfecting agent of how I will respond and still be a person of hope, even when someone else doesn't always say the right things. Think about that. That has nothing to do with my sermon. I don't know why I was going there. Perhaps the Lord was directing that. Disturb us, Lord, when we fail to hope. So today is our launch as we shout a war cry. There's a song I'd like to play for you, but just about a minute. It's by a band called Social Club Misfits. It's literally a Christian band, believe it by the title. And do we have that up there? There should be coming. Do y'all have that song? It's a song. All right. This is a today is about a war cry. The last 6 months has been about a boot camp of us preparing for what God has in store for us. It's about being preparing for launch. It's about preparing us for His vision and His plans. A war cry, by definition, means a call made to rally the soldiers for battle. So where's Harlow? Harlow, where's she at? She's there she is. All right. I asked her if she would help me. Come on up. You're going to be amazing. This girl, I told her mom a couple of weeks ago, I can't wait till she's a teenager. She's going to be a fireball for Jesus, a teenager. And her mom said, yeah, I can wait till she's a teenager. Please, don't rush it. So some of y'all may have never seen this before. Others of y'all, since it is family day, I thought Harlow would be a perfect help. Her and I are going to sing you a song. She's going to more animate the song, and I will animate it, and I will sing to you. It's called The Lord's Army. How many of y'all know? Anybody y'all remember Children's Church way back then? Okay. I was raised at Second Baptist Highlands, Texas, and so we used to sing this all the time. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. All right. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. Good job. Okay, wait. All right. Now, some of y'all are going to look at me and so on. That was so ridiculous. I don't want to do this as an adult, but stand with me, please. We're talking about war cry. Come on, Harlow. If you don't do it for me, do it for this young lady right here. She's expecting y'all to join us. Are y'all ready? How many of y'all know that song? I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. Give yourself a hand clap. Harlow, give Harlow a hand clap right here. Woo-hoo! Yeah! Jordan, I should have had you up here, man. Thank y'all for being a kid with me for a few moments. I think it's okay for us to have a little bit of fun, right? Whether we are happy with war terminologies or not, the fact of the matter is we are in a battle with the kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of light. Ephesians chapter 6, 12 puts it this way, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Our battle is not against people. Can I say that again? Our battle is not against people. We are not to hate people that are Muslims. Can I go there? We are not to hate people who are homosexuals. We are not to hate people that who have had abortions. We are to love people. We may hate their ideology. We may hate their belief system. We may believe that those belief systems are of the enemy, but we love people because God loves people. Doesn't mean we like all of their ways of life. My children, I love them. They are amazing, but I still get on to them, and I don't like some of their behavior. Straighten up with your attitude, young lady. But I love my children. We love people. Everywhere we go, we should ooze on others our love for people. As a church, we should love people. Our battle is not against people, but there is a war going on. And God has called Robin and I back here to be on the front lines of this community and to have Go Church on the front lines of this community, truly fighting for the souls of this land. That is our passion. The good news is that many of you have read it with me. You've read the end of this book, and the Bible says we win. Yeah, you can celebrate that. Isaiah chapter 42:13. I'm reading out of the Good News Version. I like this translation on this particular verse. It says this: "The Lord goes out to fight like a warrior. He is ready and eager for battle. He gives a war cry." Everybody say war cry. A battle shout. Everybody say battle shout. Thank you. He shows his power against his enemies. In biblical times, they had what was called a shofar. Shofar was used, and to this day is used among the Jews for Rosh Hashanah. It's the calling of the Jewish New Year. Or Yom Kippur, it's the Day of Atonement, the holiest day of Judaism. But it was also used as a war cry as the children of Israel went out to war. Everybody knows the story of Jericho. And the Bible says they marched around Jericho 7 times over 7 days. And on the 7th day, they marched 7 times. At the end of that 7th time, our English Bible says they blew a trumpet. But the Hebrew Bible says they blew a shofar. So I would like, and I'm not, Tori's going to the video. I didn't know you were going to videotape me. I'm not a great trumpet player, okay? But about every 3rd time, I get a really good one. And so I may have to try this a couple of times. So we're going to get there. This is our war cry this morning. We're going to use the shofar as they did in Old Testament days and shout out and says, "God, everything we have prepared for, this is it. Here we go. We are here to love people." We shout out our battle cry to touch the hearts and minds of this community for Jesus. So, Michael, would you come and hold this real quick?
Okay.
Again? Again? Oh, all right, we'll try. All right. When the children of Israel heard that, they knew it was the battle cry. They knew it was their time to go into war. When they hear it today, they know it's the calling of the holy days to call them to worship and seek God's face. We today use it to call out our war cry for this community. We are after the hearts and minds of the souls of the people in the Katy community. This is our war cry. This is when we leave our boot camp, our preparations. This is when we leave our barracks behind and we head into battle. Launch Sunday and beyond is our mission. I sense it would be appropriate today to blow the shofar. The battle plan, every great army in biblical days, to Napoleon, to World War I and World War II, to all the latest wars, they all had a battle plan. Healthy churches that grow have a strategic plan by which they sense God is speaking to them and they run after that plan. There's an old saying that says, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. If you don't know where you're going, and let's say you plan on going to Dallas, but you don't know you want to go to Dallas, so you can get in the car and end up in El Paso, and then you got there. Because if you don't know where you're going, any road's going to get you there. So if you are a church and you reach two people in Jesus' name in the course of a whole year, you got there because you didn't have a plan. Man, we want to have a plan of much greater things than that. So we have to have a battle plan. We have to have a battle plan. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. Go church, hear this. Go church, we'll not be perfect at everything. But we will do what God's called us to do with excellence. We will do the best that we can be with what God's called us to do. Other churches may have a great this kind of ministry or that kind of ministry. It may not be who God's called us to be, but we will be the best at who God's called us to be. Our plan, our vision is very simple, to go based upon the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Our plan is to go and love God with all our heart. We want to create an atmosphere where we raise up people that love Jesus. And number two, we want to love people. We want to raise up a body of people that loves people. That when we disciple, that when we speak truth, our truth speaks truth because we authentically love them and wants the best for them. Love God, love people, reach people. We want to reach people for Jesus. We truly believe that our battle is about eternity, not just on earth. We want to reach people. And fourthly, we want to disciple people. We don't want to just raise them up and create a house full of babies in Jesus, be led by one man, but we want to raise up a team of warriors who are raised up, knows what their Bible says, know who they are in Jesus, and they will go out and conquer their community in Jesus' name because they are strong and mature in their faith. We will do that. We will equip people. We will challenge you to grow. We will challenge you to step out in areas that you've never stepped out before because we want to disciple you into who God's called you to be. We accomplish our mission by a specific vision to love, reach, and disciple people locally and globally, to fall in love with Jesus, to discover their gifts, and to fulfill their God-given purpose. A vision to be defined by and to live out the values of being family. Family fight for one another, right? Somebody talk about, you know, one of my children? Come on. Because family fights for one another. We defend one another. That's who we want to become. Family. And over the last 6 months, we've become that. Now we're inviting hundreds of others to join us, to not be appendages of something that we already have going, that they will join us and be an expansion of who we are. They will not be plan B, they will be plan A. They will become family with us. Let me tell you what happens when God bursts into a new church. Church growth, revival, whatever you want to call it, is messy. messy. People come with all kinds of hiccups and pains and issues. And guess what? We as a church, we love them and get them from here to there. And sometimes it may take a whole lot of time. Revival's messy, my friends. So as we go on the path that we are going on, we're going to have to deal with some really messy stuff. It's not going to frustrate us, not going to get us down or discouraged. We know that comes with the territory of growth. We will invite people in, and they will become family together. To create an atmosphere of authentic worship and worshipers that allows the Spirit to move, we worship God in spirit and in truth. Too often churches only worship only in spirit, and if they're not careful, they can go off in the false doctrine because it's all about the emotions of what the Spirit of God is doing, and they leave the truth behind. But oftentimes when a church is all about just the truth and doesn't allow the Spirit of God to move, then it becomes pious and religious. We want the balance of both. We want to be a people that worship God in spirit and in truth. To train up and develop leaders through small groups, discipleship training, and one day we will have a school of ministry to raise up mighty men and women of God to do mighty and great things for Jesus. One of the best tools of our discipleship is our small groups. To expand through multi-site campuses, especially going to small rural towns west of Katy, as well as raising up leaders to go into the world and reach and disciple the nations. That is our long-term vision, that we don't want to just be Go Church in Katy, Texas. We want to go into these small towns, maybe 1,000 people that have a church that's been there for 60 years and grandma goes to it, but the children don't go and no young adults. It's just dying. And we go there and bring leadership, and we birth Go Church, bring the vision that God's called us to. We're not looking to raise up a church of 500 people in a town of 1,000, but we are looking at the pastors of our church of about 100 people. We'll raise up people among us to go and pastor those churches. Beyond the surrounding areas of Katy, we want to globally, strategically touch people and reach people. Our first seed of that is the church I just came from in Belize, LifeNet. We want to strategically partner with them to see that they are successful in reaching people in Belize. In fact, Pastor Kudzai, the pastor of that church, he just had his first baby yesterday. Him and Tanya, his wife actually had the baby. So let you know about that. 5 pounds, 7 ounces, came a little earlier than they expected, but his name is Grayson Jariah. Is that how I say it right? I was thinking it was going to be Grayson Lee, but they didn't hear from God enough. Did I ever tell you that I always wanted God to change my name? I mean, you know, my mom and dad kind of gave me a kind of a unisex name. You know, Lee or boys and girls. I want a name. I want to, you know, I asked Jesus, you know, Abram to Abraham. You know, give me a name. I'm Lee. So. But if you ever have a baby, you can name him Leah for me. That'd be nice. I'm chasing another little bit rabbit. Can I tell you something else? It's kind of sad. Y'all are going to grieve. Are y'all ready for this? It's very sad. I did a DNA test. I am 100% white. I'm serious. I was so disappointed. I wanted a little soul in me. You know, I want a little Jewishness in me. You know, people are having a conversation. Yeah, I'm 4% Jewish, you know. Me and Jesus were like super tight that way. I guess why I have no dance moves, because so white. I'm 62% Welsh. I'm 28% Scottish. And I'm 10% German. I am all white. I'm seriously, I was upset. I'm like, that was a waste of $55. Man, I'm mad. Just a little bit bitter over that. No, not anymore. I shaved it. There you go, Tom. But I got all kinds of children, and so that's what's beautiful. We are a coat of many colors in my home. Next Sunday, we will love people to this community. Be ready to serve. Robin may come and grab you because nursery is overflowing. Just be ready to serve. Make sure you don't get caught up in your cliques of two or three people. Make sure when people walk through those doors that you've never seen before that they feel absolutely blown away by authentic love. We don't want you to fake it. We don't want you to say, hey, what's your name? What's your name? What's your name? Jose? Oh, I thought you were Fenor. Okay. What's your name? Oh, good to meet you, Shammy. Yeah. And go to and see. And so I just called her the wrong name on purpose because I didn't really even care. And so good to meet you. I'm glad you're here. See you later. I got to talk to Michael. We want you to authentically love people. We want you to have a conversation. We want when people leave and says, man, those people are the kindest people I've ever met. Because Jesus wants to use you as a vessel. Next Sunday, be ready to serve people. We will give them authentic worship. We will give them a powerful word. We will give them family. We will give them our best. This is our battle plan. Number three, we wage our battle in communion. In communion with the Father. How appropriate that we celebrate this morning communion in our service as we prepare for lunch. Communion was instituted by Jesus when he took an ancient Passover Seder and brought new meaning. On the night before Jesus was crucified, he gave his disciples a battle cry, a new covenant. No longer was the sacrifice of a lamb needed. Jesus was and is the full and final sacrifice. Everything we do as a church comes back to the core of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. At its core, we are about Jesus. Jesus came and chose to be our substitute for the payment of our sins. He was the bridge back to our relationship, back to the Father. A bridge back to our relationship with the Father that is not automatic. It is an individual choice that every person must make for themselves. We must choose to accept the gift of salvation. It is also cool on the day, the week before lunch, on the day we serve communion, that in about 5 hours we will also do water baptism. Super excited about that. We are most effective as a people when we are aligned with God's desires. The greatest soldiers are those who honor and obey their commander. The most effective believers are those who humble themselves at the feet of Jesus. Communion, sincerely done, testifies that we surrender to our commander. His name is Jesus. We win when we honor the Father's plans. We win when we launch Go Church and we acknowledge that Jesus is our direction, his plans, his vision, his leads. I'm going to read you one more scripture before we get to the communion. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 15, just part B, it says, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. We are most effective when we align ourselves to his ways because it's his battle. We partake in communion to reaffirm our choice to walk with Jesus. If you want to play. We partake in communion to remember the sacrifice for our salvation. We partake in communion to remind us that God is the one who is in charge. We as Go Church celebrate communion together to dedicate all that we do as a church is to give honor and glory to Jesus. Would our ushers come and pass out? And some people ask the question, you know, what age are can my children take communion? It's really an answer for mom and dad. I'll just tell you my family's conviction. We did not allow our children to take communion until they had made a confession of faith for their salvation. Because we didn't believe they fully understood what communion was until they had made a personal decision. And once they had accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, then we celebrated their salvation in communion, and our children grasp the meaning and sincerity of it. That's what it is for us. You must choose how you allow your children to use it, but I'm sharing with you how we do. Anybody else still need it? Guys, thank you for being here today. I can't express to you enough with words how blessed I am with the team that is around Robin and I. Y'all come here early on Sunday morning and y'all work hard to do all this. And then you tear it down and you do it with joy. You do it as unto the Lord. We love well. May we continue to love well. When we have hurt people, may we have the maturity to step up and say, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Martha, I still need a bread. Just put it up there. First Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, the Bible says he broke it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we take these elements not as just some ritual we fulfill, but Father, right now we are reminded that your body was broken for us, that what we do as this church community, we walk under your banner, we run under your vision and your plans, we want to reach people for Jesus, God, and we remember that your body was broken, and Father, what we do on this earth, we do it for eternity, God. And Father, as we take of this bread, we cry out a war cry and say, God, use us in mighty ways. Challenge us, God. Disturb us, Lord. That God, you would reach people for your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the bread. Verse 25, it says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. That's powerful. You have to realize he's talking to Jewish people that are under an old covenant. All kinds of laws. You can't put two different kinds of articles of clothing. You can't sew them together. All kinds of different laws and rituals. And Jesus stands up to a Jewish people, but it was meant for much more than a Jewish people. And he said, I bring you a new covenant, a new contract of a relationship with the Father. Not only will the Holy Spirit dwell in a temple, and you would have to go and speak to a holy man, but today, tomorrow, I will rip that curtain in two. The Holy Spirit will come out of that place, and he will indwell people, that today you will become the temple of the Most High God. Today you will have the opportunity to be a kingdom of priests before me. A new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So the Bible says we are to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, but we also are to proclaim that he is our soon coming king, that he will come again. Father, we take this juice as symbolic of your blood, and we are reminded of the great sacrifice that you did for us. Father, thank you for a new covenant, a new contract, a covenant of grace, a covenant where the Holy Spirit indwells me, has a relationship with me. I can speak directly to you. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. This is our war cry. Lord, fulfill what you called us to do. We are your soldiers. We follow your command. We dedicate this church we call Go Church. On the Sunday before launch to God's destiny, we follow him willingly, sacrificially, joyfully, because he is an awesome God. Would you stand with me this morning? If you are here and you've never made a decision for Jesus individually or personally in your life, I challenge you that you would in a moment come forward and allow someone to pray with you. If you are here and you made a decision when you were 8 or 9 or 20 or 30 and you've walked away from that decision, I pray that today you would make a new decision for Jesus. You would recommit your life. When our leaders, some of our leaders begin to come forward. If you're here and you're sick in body and you need prayer, we want to pray for you. If you are here and you're praying about bringing someone to launch Sunday and you just need some agreement and prayer, boy, please come and we want to pray with you. If you're struggling right now and you need a victory in something, if you desire to come, would you come right now? Would you come? If you need prayer, come right now. Don't be afraid. Today is about a war cry. Today is a day we make decisions and we move forward. Placing action to our decision is a big step in our walk with Jesus. If you need to come, come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for running with me on this journey. Next Sunday is going to be a fun day. Please come. Would you just stretch your hands out to heaven? Father, we honor you as we sincerely gave or participated in communion. We submit to you as our commander-in-chief. We follow your lead, and Father, as today has been a war cry, a rallying the troops for the battle, Father, next Sunday is the launch. Father, we pray that new people would come, then make decisions for Jesus. We would raise them up to become mighty men and women of God. Father, use each person in this room as a vessel to love people, to bring hope to people. Father, we continue to pray for the victories that they are praying for, the breakthroughs that they are praying for right now. As they seek your face, as they fast, we celebrate that. We celebrate those breakthroughs in Jesus' name. Amen. Last two things I wanted to say. Don't forget about the night of worship. Don't forget about the baptism. We'll be right back there in about 5 minutes for about a 10-minute meeting. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.